Okay.
All right, Hank.
This is going back to the transmitter. We borrowed $100,000. Why didn't we give the company the $100,000?
They will get that.
Why didn't we give it to them?
Mm-hmm. We gave them $25,000. They didn't need a lot initially. They needed 25% or
we
something.
We have to have all of it paid before they'll let it off the top.
So why?
Why didn't we just give them the money?
Well, I don't know.
Well that is a business practice. If you have an agreement with someone and their business practices are 30, 40, 30, and you can be earning interest on that money instead of letting them hold it for 30 days. So it's a business principle.
And
it's
there is a business a possibility practice. They don't just give folks
hundreds of thousands of dollars until they ask for it.
I think that is the general manager. He knows how to manage that.
We could be earning interest on that money just like they would sitting over there in the 30-day account. So it makes sense to me not to give it to them if they don't ask for it.
I don't think $30 is going to work.
Believe me, with our 26 accounts and we're paying in, the more we can get back in from banks, the better off we are. So let it sit there for 30 days.
Well, my problem is that Pacifica has a bad history of not repaying.
Paying? Well, I think their company going to go and take the transfers back if we don't pay. Okay, y'all. I think we really milked this cow pretty well, and now I'm kind of confused about where the motion is going to go, so I want some clarity from you and you on this motion that's on the table. Because you just showed you had some ambiguity. He said you had some ambiguities about it.
What I said is, if we talk about the specific, that is the recommendation of the Finance Committee after our meeting, May 20, that is what the committee vote on. That was the motion that came to us, the LSB. We don't need, my view is we should go into executive session and have a whole discussion of these issues with names and everything else.
In the absence of the vice chair, Mr. Secretary, will you take the chair for a moment that I may be recognized?
Very well.
Thank you. Now, I want to make it very clear that I do know budgets. I've been dealing with budgets, $100,000 budgets, $1 million budgets for a while. I've been on boards that actually deal with real money. But the reality here is we've got some hard decisions to make. And that's what's tough about budgets, period. The fact that then somebody's going to suffer and someone is going to benefit. It is a balance striking that you're trying to do, but the reality of the matter is I'd love to have a news department. But the fact of the matter is we don't have a news department. We may have a news person. And it never become personal with me. It becomes these numbers that we're dealing with. And how do we deal with a 20% shortage of every fundraiser we have? That means 20% of the projections for next year need to be cut, period. Or you're going to find yourself with a 30% shortage or 40% shortage moving in 2016 if you don't make these hard decisions. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to allow it to be personal because I have no dog in this hunt. I don't want anything other than the fact that as chair of this board that we make these hard decisions. We have the responsibility as a board, any board have the responsibility to approve or not approve a budget based on the priorities the board sets, not the general manager.
Or even the
Well, make that very clear. And that's your interpretation if you choose to have a different interpretation. But when you go into governance of nonprofits, it is not the will of the employee. It is the will of the board.
Resign the chair. Back.
Thank you, sir.
Point of order, Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
Under Robert's rules, the chair may pass the gavel to whomever he thinks is the best equipped person to take convene.
I'm so stuck on protocol. The vice chair was out. Next.
Well,
person.
I'm just saying. You need to ask permission to do that.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I did ask to speak on that.
Okay, go right
here. All right. Put myself on 2 minutes. The GM mentioned, too, that he could cut the news or he could cut reception. All things are actually mentioned in the meeting. The only thing that was discussed was cutting the news. I did point out during that meeting that we actually do have some zero-cost Houston Indy Media. There are many, many shows that have news elements to them that are no cost, and we would not be losing the entirety of our news content In fact, we'd actually probably be keeping the best quality and the most quantity of our news content that's already not paid for. Specifically, the motion, again, because we are given a budget that has no line items for any specific staff, and it's all kind of hidden behind the curtain. So the only way we could phrase it was to eliminate the staffing or the budget that goes towards the news department, and that's all we could really say. And
that's the explanation.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, again, we're not going to make that decision tonight. This is just a discussion to framework. Because every year, you know, we get people who say, well, you should have been at the meetings. You should have mentioned this in the early in the process. Well, it can't get no earlier. So, you've got something again on this.
Yeah, it's regarding a budget. Okay. At some point, looking at line items is not enough. You're not doing due diligence if you don't go back and look at the bills.
Exactly.
And you don't look at the individual payments for different things. Mm-hmm. You have to do that periodically in order to keep the house honest.
Point of information, you said you have to do that. You means LSBs?
You means the LSB.
Fiduciary.
Thank you.
You means
thank
the
you.
PNB, and it also means the
means
committee
us.
That's
seeing bills, seeing receipts.
Yeah. I mean, at least the committee should be able to, mm-hmm. you know, request, well, we need to see this and this and this. You know, we've seen this justified year after year, and we just rubber stamp
checks
it.
And balances.
But you have to check that stuff.
Yes,
you, yep. you can't just rubber stamp things every year. And you can't argue about line items as if you knew what's under them
exactly.
without looking at that stuff.
Yes,
it's not that you have to look
I
at
think
every
that
single item. But
that Robert had, Robert had the same idea. And we were discussing that, and I think that we can bring that to the PNB, and I want to know how the LSB feels. Because I think that one of the problems that we are having in the foundation by itself, the fire station, but the foundation, you know, we are part of the same foundation. We are making a share.
Is there any reason why that door is open? Because there's certainly enough air in here.
There's certainly not.
That's the distraction is what I'm trying to deal with for the next 45 minutes.
The problem that we are having is that every unit, you see that periodically we have problems in one unit or another unit and the books or whatever. I think that we should have a really strong a CFO and a strong national office accounting department and financial department. And in every station, we will be saving money everywhere, and we will have the information like that permanently. The only thing that we will have in the station is somebody put it, you know, in the right place, whatever accounting system we use, just put there what we are paying for. You know, it's a very simple issue, and then all of that will go to the national office. We don't need to have specialty people in every station, because first of all, we don't have it. And then is some of them are good, some of them are not. Some of them are the ones that manage everything, and the general manager don't have a damn clue about what finances is. They present them and say, sign here, and they sign. That's why I think that it's time that the national office will manage all of that, and we will have always everything on time. It's not like, oh, that station is 6 months behind. No, we don't need to have that. The only option is that. What I feel is that we, as a foundation, every time that we have a unit that is having some profit, they want to take that unit apart. You see that in affiliates. You see that with the Pacifica Radio Archives. They are really important, really big, really strong. We need to thank them. But they are employees that are receiving a salary. During all these years, they were building those units with the money that the foundation, the resources. I mean, we have the Pacifica Radio Archives that have $1 million in the last 10 years, $1 million, almost $1 million under. The rest of the stations were paying for that. You know, and then when we said, oh, well, how much are we paying for that recording? The recording belongs to the Pacifica Foundation. That is my point there, you know. I'm aggravated when I feel that everybody said, oh, you know, the Pacifica Radio Archive, the affiliates or whoever is producing this. With which money? The money that The whole Pacific is putting there to put those salaries, to build those units. And the benefit should come to all of us, to the foundation. We are having just an empty shell. When somebody is productive, the one that have, that's why some stations want to cut off and go by themselves, because they have the money. Then what? Who will stay in the Pacifica Foundation? The ones that are big debts? That way, I want to bring all of that to the PNB. I'm sorry that I should
worry
like that.
That's okay. You did apprise us of it. And so
because I really
we
want
hope
to
you
know.
Bring it to the PNB.
Right.
And if you and Robert work
right.
on it,
yes.
maybe it can go somewhere.
Oh, yes.
Uncharacteristically, right. we want to hear from our finance chair.
There's a few other, I'll try to be brief, things I want to update you on reporting nationally that it kind of could affect us also. I just wanted to make sure you knew about that motion that the committee debated and discussed last time. Also, the next meeting is 2 weeks from tonight. I don't think we have a place yet. I think Nancy was going to get us a place. Was that right?
No,
yeah, I'll stick with this $10 a night. $10 an hour. I'm telling you, stop worrying about
it. Is it Central Market?
Well, we did the Central Market. She said that she will see if she can make us use that room. If not, we can always meet outside.
Okay, well, who's she? I just want to make sure.
It's a person there in the Central Market.
The one that
just gave the.
Yeah. Okay, well, who's talking to her? Because I need to post the location. Oh, okay. Well, just make sure, whatever you find, let me know. Also, so nationally, I think Pacific is still really teetering on insolvency. And I'm still not exactly sure how much we owe because we really haven't been able to get all the major payables. I think it's still on the order of $3 to $4 million. I don't know. But the biggest part of that is Democracy Now!, but I'm still not sure what else there is. And meanwhile, WBAI is accumulating about over $40,000 of debt every month because of the tower rental that they're paying is only a fraction of what the actual rent amount is. And so until that gets fixed, they're accumulating about $500,000 a year. That's what it amounts to. So that adds to the deficit on the balance sheet. And also KPFK, we don't really have complete figures because part of the problem with the problems with the audits is some of the data really wasn't entered, apparently. But they were in big deficits the last 2 years. I'm not sure about this year, but their fund drives have been doing poorly, and those two stations, especially KPFK right now, is really dragging down the whole all of Pacific. And
it's two stations dragging it down.
Well, you know,
WBI is doing its share.
Yeah, right. But anyway,
KPFK is not helping.
Yeah, but WBI did cut their expenses drastically a couple years ago. The hard way, by laying off 3/4 of their staff.
That didn't turn the flow around.
Well, right. The biggest problem they have still now is the tower level, the financial thing. I mean, there's other issues that they have.
Which the PNB is still fighting to keep, apparently.
Well, what? I don't know. Anyway, I just want to let you know about that. There's still financial issues.
Okay. Let me tighten this.
We can feel better that at least we're not running those big deficits here. Although we have revenue up, so we wouldn't have to keep making cuts.
Being in a smaller organization like we are getting.
The BAI lease for their tower runs contrary to the best interest of Pacifica.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you all know this, but we have a contract for our tower.
Yeah.
It actually runs to the benefit of Pacifica.
Right.
Because the people that executed that contract never made provision. I think it's got 5 or 7 more years on it.
Right.
Never made provision for us to reimburse for the cost of electricity.
Right.
And so we've been saving about $30,000 a year, every year, because they're bound by that contract, and they can't collect a penny from us for electricity.
Is that
going to
change?
Whenever that contract.
Well, he opens up a can of worms in strategic planning, meaning that we know 5 to 7 years can come real fast. So unless there's a plan to renegotiate that contract to find a new spot, hey, those are things we got to deal with in the future. But thank you for your report,
Mr. Chair.
I would like to move on.
Just one question. Can we mention, and then the LSB will approve, the members of finance, then that will go to the automatic reminder. We have it. Okay? It's bill closure, Joseph Davis, Susan Radwin, Robert Mark, myself, Adriana Kasnake, Jim Boyd, Teresa Allen, Alana Purin, Richard Yusel, and Nancy Saibar and Nagitome. Wayne Bradley came to the second meeting, not to the first. That is the original. The convening meeting. then we can send that to Pacifica, and they will send the automatic reminders every time that.
Are there any objections? Hearing none. Thank you for your report, Mr. Finance Chair. I hope the wait was worth it. We've expended about 40, 45 minutes on that report. I'd like to now go past the general manager's report, but Robert, we're going to include the issues of fundraising because my report has to do with fundraising. My ideas of fundraising, I share some concern that when we start talking about the LSB fundraising, and I believe the LSB as a body is to assist, is what the bylaws state, in fundraising. Not necessarily to initiate, not necessarily to formulate. But my idea of that, when I read the bylaws, that is the strategic plan or the business plan or the fundraising plan, the manager should and would hopefully bring a plan and say, LSB, this is your part. This is what we'd like to see you doing in this overall scheme of things. Not expect members to join within a month or a year or two and come up with their own little fundraising niches, let alone it's the chair's responsibility to initiate some fundraising. And this chair has done that. In fact, I think, I won't go there. But I'll say, I want to know what the manager's plan is for these $20,000. And then I can complement that plan. Because the manager's been knowing this a long time, and I'm just finding out with $20,000. I knew we needed money. I thought we needed $170,000. So it's a lot easier to come up with a plan for $20,000 than it is for $170,000. And I do see some of us being able to play in that plan, but I believe the plan ought to emanate from the persons who are responsible for fundraising of the station. And I haven't seen any creativity. I haven't seen any initiatives. I haven't seen any plans since I've been on this board from this manager with respect to fundraising. So my idea, once I get an understanding, we can do a Zydeco Festival with two other nonprofit groups that have been working on this. And KPFT can partner, and they can split it 30-30, 33-33-33. It may raise $10,000, $15,000, but that's something you can consider. And it'd be a recurring thing because, for me, this station not having concerts every year, at least from the four endemic communities, whether Hispanic-oriented music concert each year, an African-oriented music each year, folk, Anglo-oriented, well, we do some of that, and then the Indian culture, there's just no reason over the years we wouldn't have not looked ever so much. We have a concert going on that we're broadcasting from this station. Go ahead, Bert.
Well, I mean, it's great to throw fundraising ideas around, but, you know, with all due respect to everyone, you know, the last fundraising, the raffle came up with, we ended with about
$2,100.
What? And that's about an average fundraiser.
Well, it's above average fundraising for one since I've been here. Go ahead.
And, well, what I'm saying is that when the opportunity comes where we could do something to raise money, then, you know, with all due respect to everyone, a lot of board members just ignored it. You know what I'm saying? They just ignored it. And it's like, well, I hand out, you know, 1,000 tickets to everyone, and I got very few back. I'm not saying all the board members ignored it, but the majority of the board members just ignored it. That was something that we could have done to raise. It was sky was the limit. But when the opportunity came, so it's great to talk, but if something comes, then let's actually do something, because that was a great opportunity that was missed. $2,100 is great, but could have been $10,000. Could have been $20,000. I could have just kept ordering tickets, and then people could have kept going, but we didn't take the opportunity when we had it. So I hear what you're saying, but...
Well, no, I hear what you're saying, and what you're saying is absolutely correct. 80%, maybe 90% of 24 members did not participate, but let's understand something. That was one of many. Fundraisers are buy-in. Some folk are good at selling tickets. Most folk are not. And when we start talking about fundraising around this table, we can talk all night, but I agree with you, talk is cheap. So what I'm proposing is, as chair, I'm willing to reach out to other groups and say, let's partnership and let's develop a recurring concert. I get off of that because it's going to take a committee to do that. I'm going to come to outreach. I'm going to come to development. I'm going to come to everybody to try to get that off the ground. But this is the chair trying to initiate that when he get an understanding from this manager what his plan is for the 20,000, and not just the 20,000, but moving forward for some of the other issues that we've got to deal with in strategic planning. Hank, I think you was first, and then
it's not just the 20,000. We have to raise the 100,000 to repay the other station. So, with our budget like it is right now, we have to raise a little over 21,800 a week.
Actually, you're missing something. Because that 100,000 still is over there. We still have the balance to pay them before we get to the repayment, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, y'all following me?
The money
we don't have $175,000 right now, right? Yeah. Which is the total cost, right?
Well, the $100 is in the $100,000 is in our account to use.
But the other 70.
Well, he said here that we have.
He's going to transfer $20,000 out of general operations.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That will make the $62,000 previously dedicated to the transmitter available and ready for payment.
Okay.
It will leave $19,000 or $20,000 left unpaid.
Okay.
So the immediate goal is to come up with $19,000 to $20,000 in 6 weeks.
And then we can concentrate on selling the $100,000 repayment.
Right. Well, it will be in our budget in the future. It's so much a year.
And they will negotiate that. Go ahead.
I think it's a great idea to
negotiate.
I think it's a great idea to do concerts. What we have to realize is how much work that is.
Ooh, yes.
I give an example. Lisa Blaylock. She does Pat and Rosie's Night Sounds. Now, she is, to me, a shining example of what programmers should do. She has, I don't know how many events she's had at the last Concert Cafe, where she would have an event, she'd come into the station with $1,500 and walk upstairs and give it to Robin. But I tell you, she was tired.
Is that Night Sounds? Night Sounds?
Night Sounds. Pat Rosie's Night Sounds.
She just turned in $1,500.
Yeah. And that is hard work. And that stressed her out to the utmost. It's not going to work having a committee get together and put...
No, that's why I said we go out and partner.
Well. I mean, I understand that, but unless all of, if we have a committee that partners with another organization to put on a concert, it's going to fall through because no one is getting paid to do it, and one person is going to have to pretty much take it upon themselves. Putting a concert together is hard work, and if this board didn't want to sell any raffle tickets, they are sure not going.
Well, I think
you want to say they're not going to.
All due respect, you're a little skewed because the example we use with five folk around the table, six folk around the table at the roast and toast, no one thought we would come close to that total. But it was five or six people who came together and said, we're going to make this happen regardless.
That's the attitude.
I can take four or five people from this table
largely that was Robin,
and get it done.
Largely that was Robin.
That's not true either.
I'm not saying that no one else helped. I'm not
six
saying
six people
that.
At that table.
Dwayne, please.
I was there at every meeting, so
saying,
I know who did.
I'm not saying that people did not help. I'm not saying that.
In fact.
But I am saying that Robin was the glue there.
Of course she's supposed to be the glue there.
Yes, she's supposed to be.
Absolutely.
And that is what something like
that's
that
template
needs.
I'm saying we need to use. All I'm saying
is that for the roast, Robin was the glue. And for any other concert that would be needed, we would need that same glue.
Absolutely.
Or it was not.
And the development manager is the glue. Go ahead.
I would just like to say that we've got to raise $20,000 in 6 weeks. Now, I used to be very active in a nonprofit organization up home where we would put on concerts in an outdoor amphitheater we had in the little town. And we did it for 5 years. And I can tell you, over that 5 years,
it grows.
We profited. We more than broke even, probably out of 5 shows out of 30. And if we hadn't had a big rock and roll promoter from Chicago come in and underwrite us after the first year, it would have been a one-year deal because we lost our butt. And the reason the big rock and roll promoter could underwrite us is because they have relationships with music management. And music management is always trying to get their lesser stars someplace to play. And so what happens is the music agent calls up the Jam Productions, which is the company that we dealt with, and they say, okay, well, you want our, who's big now? I don't even know who's big now. At the time, it would have been like Billy Joel, someone like, they were filming outstate. If you want to bring those people to Chicago, you got to find a place for this act and this act and this act to play. And, you know, we hit it lucky before we had Jam Productions because we booked for $5,000 a little band called Air Supply that had actually peaked and fallen to the bottom. But we lived in a rural area where nobody was aware that they had actually fallen out of favor. And so that was a big name, and we actually had the largest attendance in the nation for a concert that night. And we made a good amount of money that first year. But Jam Productions comes in knowing they're going to lose money because they're trying to please these agents who are going to cut them a deal for the big money stars.
Cost of doing business.
And so they would have us do the lesser stars or the people on their way up or the people on their way down. We were offered Bon Jovi 6 weeks before he became the biggest thing in music for $2,000. And we told him no.
Yeah. Hindsight, huh? Hank.
Well, one of the reasons that Lisa worked herself to death on it is because she tried to book a lot of bands. And if you can keep it down to 2 bands, it'll be much easier.
Who was the gentleman that came to that Saturday meeting?
Sandy Weinman.
He lost his shirt.
That's actually why I raised my hand. I wanted to point out that $2,700, you know, there was only about maybe 30 people that paid to get in that show. Mm. It was a terrific show.
It was.
And yet he's got $2,700 that he could bring us. Because he went out and busted his butt and got underwriters and sponsors for that show, that he had it going in that we would break even. And that was, and I would therefore like to amend our little recognitions to include Sandy Weinman for his work on what did he call it, the Sapphire Benefit?
Yeah.
And what's the lady's name for 9 cents?
Lisa Blaylock
for her work on the Night Sounds program. I think that we ought to unanimously approve including them in the recognitions.
Yeah, no objections. Tony?
Just one more thing. You know, like Sandy, you know, shows would benefit if the programmer that is representing that community puts it on. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, with the new
relationship.
Like with the new with the new African show.
Oh yeah, I like that. The world.
No,
I was thinking about
Wednesday,
them doing that.
Wednesday at 1 p.m. 1 p.m.
Yeah.
Obie Pro.
Yeah,
you know, he is the kind of person.
His community.
Yeah, and he's representing his community. And I really think that, you know, if we were to come at him the right way, then he could really make something happen. You know, he's constantly in his community making things happen.
Yeah, he's brought up bad performance.
You know, so that is, I think that if we were to want to put on concerts, which is a great idea, Duane, then I think that we need to hit the programmers that are specifically going to that community. Especially
he's already connected. He's probably put on a festival the way he sounds.
Yeah,
you know, and
yeah.
We just sign on to that.
Another thing we need to do is get programmers in general to advertise these things.
Exactly.
Because you didn't hear Under La Luna very much, mm-hmm. and it still made $1,500. You didn't hear Sapphire very much.
That's true.
And it's still, you know, it tends to be, if it's not
there, they don't want to promote.
If it's not my deal, I don't
know that much about
how to reach people for donations. But I was thinking, why not say something like open a little campaign saying special communities. You want to be, part of our
family,
one of the legs of our antenna, whatever, mm-hmm. and divide it in, 10 communities or 5 communities. 5 communities are $4,000 each community. We got the $20,000. I said we will put, the Arab community, the Muslim community, whatever, right there is, I don't know. I'm thinking if that is possible. Like I said, I don't know much, but we can do the same with Hispanic community, with African American community.
Chinese. The audience for KPFT is predominantly white. So if I go out trying to sell tickets to my community, I don't really have that much to offer to them.
Exactly.
So I can't sell the tickets to my community. They don't want to buy them. There's no interest, very little interest.
I'm just curious. This $19,000 ought to be easily knocked out. Right. And had it been me, my director's report would have discussed 2 items that ought to be coming out of the development office that would knock this out easily in 6 weeks. The first is a direct mail campaign with the graphics that we used the last time we bought a transmitter, mm-hmm. and appealing to people to pledge 1,500. Mm-hmm. But basically what you handed out at the roast, but direct mail, mm-hmm. and getting those pledges back in right away. And the other thing that I know development has discussed, but I don't know if it's gone anywhere, is a crowdsource. That's something that we should be involved in as a board.
And it costs nothing.
If we had the crowdsource on the computer,
explain to them what crowdsourcing
is. Oh gosh, I can't even name.
GoFundMe.
But it's where
number one.
It's where your friends send you on your Facebook page. I'm really involved in making this movie. That I've got crowdsourced.
We've got 7,000 folks.
I've got to raise $3,500 by such and such a time. And won't you please donate it to it? And you send it out to all your friends and neighbors that love
Facebook.
You. And then you ask them to send it to their people, and you see if you can't get that money pledge. Now, the big one is one that charges you.
That's GoFundMe. All of them charge
you. And doesn't give you anything if you fail.
Well GoFundMe, I'm going to charge you like maybe 3.5% to set up and maybe 1.5% in collection. So you look at it, you're going to get 94-95% of what folk give, and you've done nothing but post a picture and some words.
But that's been discussed, and like I said, I would have been rolling that out the day that I rolled out the I have ordered the transmitter.
It started with teachers.
And
teachers,
so I don't know where they are, because I sent an email and I got no response. Actually, we've probably been better off if Robin had come to our meeting tonight rather than Dwayne, because
she would be the one putting this up on GoFundMe anyway.
and like I said, the direct mail, I mean, we've done that before at the end of the year.
We've talked about it,
but
too.
But that's the kind of a thing where people will write the check because they think they got a brick in the sidewalk.
Right.
Case example. You're familiar with SHAPE Community Center, most of you. There was a people complaining, SHAPE, you don't ask. And for years, they didn't send out a letter asking. Soon as a new person came in, they sent out 5,000 letters. They got $10,000 within several days, simply because you asked me, and I wrote a $25, I wrote a $50, but you never asked me beyond what I was giving. So that's a point well taken. We got 6,000, 7,000 people that we could tweet this out to, email this out to with this GoFundMe thing, and that's now 21,000, turned into 60,000, turned into 120,000. And don't get CNN or the local stations to do a report saying this station is, you can, what I say, take a license, a literary license like Dwayne did when he quoted we had $50,000 in the bank to the Chronicle. Well, take a literary license and say we may go off the air if we don't get this transmitter. And then that hit CNN, that hit the local news. That's exposure. And people go to GoFundMe, and overnight, like you said, I do believe that $19,000.
The money that was paid to the people that didn't want to sell a pizza to a gay couple was crowdsourced.
Yes.
They just put up a website and said, we're not going to do anything, but because you hate gays as much as we do, give us money. And they made $270,000 for doing that.
Did you hear about?
Yeah, they didn't even have to buy the flour to make a pizza.
Did you hear about the young? Did you hear about the middle-aged man that was walking to work 20 miles every day in St. Louis or somewhere? They put up a GoFundMe. Within 2 or 3 days, a dealership in that town gave him a car, and GoFundMe had raised $330,000 for this man within 2 to 4 weeks on a GoFundMe account because the word got out. I read it in the Chronicle. I saw it on CNN. People go to the website and just start donating.
I had a bunch of really wonderful ideas. My point here is we should have a better channel of communication with the employees that are being paid to do that. We can help.
Assist.
We should help. We must help. But they must do it. You know, if we don't have even that communication, if people don't even, like I said, people have a totally wrong idea about what we are doing, how can we communicate? We need to open those channels.
Hank, next up. Would this be properly placed in the development committee, this idea of GoFundMe and the letters?
Well, if we get to the development committee, I can update you on it. We talked about both of those in the development committee.
Okay, we'll get there. We're just a stone's throw from there because when we leave this, I'm excited about the discussion, the challenge of the fundraise. And some of you seem like you kind of lit up when, you know, because a lot of folk, y'all have a problem asking folk who work in class and knowing they don't want to give, but this indirect giving, like GoFundMe, like the letters, maybe that's something you can get into and really help with. But a retreat is on the agenda, ladies and gentlemen. I'm getting to you, Hank. A retreat that I determined that we might ought to have it after the election, since we're going to have new folk mixed with some of the existing ones. So around September, we get this election done. We want to have a retreat that Bill is willing to help put together a syllabus. My vice chair has agreed to help. The secretary don't know, but he's agreed to help to put together a syllabus.
We
so that we'll have this, like Bill and others, put together for us. Remember, Robert, you got one, the rest, you got one when we came on board. And it's been a lifesaver for those who will read. It don't do you no good putting it together, putting it in your hand if you ain't going to read it. But it's got the bylaws, it's got all other additional items we need. And we're looking forward to doing that. And that's why I argued about that line item for the budget, so we'll be able to pay for the retreat, you know. I don't want you to bring your sack lunch. I want to be able to have some accommodations for you. We might do it 6 hours one day and 4 hours the next day, depending upon how you agree. But we really do need that synergy, that coming together and breakout sessions and understand what those A through L's really say. And we can have a discussion about the role of the LSB. We can have a real agreement on interpretation of moving forward and come together maybe as a family instead of as adversaries. Okay, Hank, you got it.
I would make a motion that we move, or I move that we include a development report in our meetings.
Well, we do have that, Hank. We just never get to it. See, it's right here on item 7.
Development from the development officer.
Oh, okay. Well, now, you know she already worked so many hours.
I know that.
Okay, we can get it in writing.
But we're always asking questions about what's going on.
She prepares one once a month, and it's pretty exhaustive. So she could easily send it to the LSB.
She has been sending those fundraiser reports to the LSB, and we found we weren't getting them for whatever reason.
Yeah. Point of information, Robert just said that Robin gives us a monthly report. Who?
The development committee.
Okay. No, but yeah, he's talking about the development committee.
I believe two of our members indicated they needed to go. Adrian is getting on the airplane at red eye at 8 in the morning, and Susie got to get to work. So we're going to excuse them, but those of you who want to
No,
remain.
Late. Late.
Well, 4:30. My God, do you live around the corner from where you work, or what?
Oh, is that going
to be? Ooh, 4:30. Yes, ma'am.
I know I'm getting ahead of the cart, but if we have a lot of money come in, the next item is telephones. It's so awful now.
No, I mean it's a lot of things that need to be done.
But I mean telephone.
Remember employees are not receiving really raises in their, you know, their salary. We know that there are some people really working hard.
Oh, yeah.
And the idea is to bring the money and give salaries that are more, some of them more decent.
Really bad
money. We need to bring the money first. Yes. Oh. Okay, what is in our next?
You said you don't realize that our phone system is in bad.
And PMB.
Yes.
Any PMB member, can you report whether or not the PMB applicable committee is researching this health insurance reorganization that has been suggested?
I do not believe that if anybody's doing it, it might be finance.
Boy, somebody needs to be working with these. It's been suggested to the ED and to the former PMB chair that we can work with the local unions in California, but we to renegotiate that health insurance contract to allow them to go into the exchanges in California and Texas and D.C. and everywhere else, where it would be cheaper for us as a corporation to pay them to go into the exchanges rather than pay this excessive 100% coverage that we've been covering.
That was brought up in finance.
Yeah, because I've been pushing it.
We have that.
We need to send up, finance needs to send up a motion.
Yeah.
That we bring to the body and we'll send it up to the PMB because I believe that will save us hundreds of thousands of dollars. And if we don't start negotiating, we can't even get it for the 2016 budget. We may have to deal with the 2017 budget now.
Write it down and I'll submit it to the NFCT.
All right, I'll send you an email. All right. Standing committees now. Development is not here. Budget and finance, I guess you can have a second shot at it if you want.
Actually, I was on the development committee. I don't know if you want to hear from me or not. I'm on the development committee, too. I don't know if you want to hear from
me. Well, go ahead if something's going on.
I mean, I'll be brief, but the last couple of meetings, we did talk about those two things, Robert, which as well as some other stuff, raising money for the transmitter. And yeah, we talked about direct mail, also contacting major donors. And one of the things we're doing is developing a little flyer or brochure to explain, you know, why. Most of these things, and also we also talked about crowdsourcing.
Okay.
The main limiting factors for all this is we need, for the brochure, we need somebody who has some graphics ability who can help make a little graphic. People tend to respond more from emotional
things
and not from a whole bunch of numbers and stuff like that.
I agree.
And so we could use some graphics help if you know somebody, soon.
I can help.
Okay, great, super. And then the other thing for the crowdsourcing, what makes them successful usually is a short video. So we need somebody who's a videographer or a video editor. Dwayne actually has some video testimonials we might be able to put together. Mm. But somebody's got to go through them and see which ones
compelling.
Good.
Or they maybe need to be compelling.
We might need to get some more, too.
Yes.
But you don't want to make it long. Mm. That's what helps make crowdsourcing work, is that you got something with some emotional appeal. Why it makes a difference, why you need to donate, and what's special about KPFT. They can be used for funding other things in the future, too. Anybody have any videographer friend that might be able to help?
I have only a little idea about that. That is, I think that we are breaking to the listeners permanently how terrible everything is. I think that we should do something that is just the opposite, right? Trying to encourage people, trying to say, you know, we need it, whatever, but not that apocalyptic.
Yeah, but with crowdsourcing, you're not talking to the listeners.
This is outside the family.
Yeah, we're what we're about and why we're special and why we deserve to have the money.
I know Ben DeSoto, primarily a photographer and a videographer. Maybe he would know someone if he's willing to sell.
Get their chair out that door before someone stumbled.
I'll be glad to pass along the information. Or
yes, ma'am.
Talk Robin either way.
I don't have the best equipment, but I can certainly help with putting it together. If that doesn't work out. I don't have the best
equipment,
but I can help with putting together a video if that doesn't work out. Also.
Oh, okay.
The Labor Show has a guy that does a fair amount of video.
Who?
The Labor Show.
Yeah.
Isn't that what Marlo does?
What is video adult show?
Marlo is the news person?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a good person to head up.
Okay. So let's work on that through development still. And I'd be willing to work with development on that crowdsourcing thing, because I think, based on what Robert's suggesting of these letters, whether to big donors or to individual donors, and that crowdsourcing, that's $19,000 that I think we ought to be able to go after.
Well, we would like to raise more.
Well, I'm saying that's 19,000 four or five times, I'm thinking, if we do all three of these things. And do them soon.
We're at budget and finance still,
but now we're going to governance.
Governance.
We gave facilities management their kudos. They always on point. They don't never.
One thing I wanted to mention from governance is we did cover STV voting procedures, so we're trying to get people familiar. We did want to point out that for these upcoming elections, so if you're a non-candidate and we want to learn how to do this, which might be able to help during the when we're going to seat some of the open seats maybe in July.
Yes, I expect we will.
It would be nice if we had more people to do that. If you are a candidate, well, you're not going to actually be able to be part of the accounting, you shouldn't be, but if knowing the methods, it would give you... You can observe and make sure everything is done right. So that's our governance report.
The names of the members.
Oh, you want the names
then
of the members?
Then will be approved by this LSB.
Yeah, the members that are on the LSB, me, Susan Rodwan, Adriana Casaneva, Jim Boyd, Nancy Saibar and Artomi, and Dwayne Lark. And we also have...
No, all of them are...
Are there any corrections?
All of them. Mm-hmm.
Those were the ones present. But your committee...
Well, we were asking for names.
The original...
The full ones?
Yes.
The original committee is Joseph Davis, Susan Rana, Adriana Casanave, Wesley Bethune, Don Cook, Cliff Smith, Nancy Saibar, Nan Tomlin, Ted Wieskamp, Bob Gardner, because those were the ones at the original first meeting.
He got the whole thing.
Including Jim Boyd, Andrew Patterson,
Sally Jacobs,
Rita Washington, and Dwayne Lark.
And Sally Jacobs.
So that's the complete committee. Any corrections? Any objections? So noted. Now,
have any of those people that were at the first meeting off the committee because they didn't attend?
Three consecutive meetings?
I'm checking the records at this point. I'm concerned that there may be one person who's had three consecutive
the first
meetings.
They didn't show.
But they have been to a subsequent meeting. So you're going to give us a report on anybody who may have fallen off?
Yeah, the one person that's concerned about.
Now, let's keep in mind now, they still are members of the committee, but they don't have voting rights until they assume three consecutive meetings. So let's be clear about that. Just because you miss three meetings, you don't get thrown off the committee. You don't have voting rights. You can attend the meetings. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Does that mean that they have to be considered when we're formulating a quorum?
Yes, if they're on the roll.
Even if they've missed three meetings?
No. At that point, they're disqualified.
You're not voting,
as
you're not
as a quorum.
Part of the quorum.
I know. Right. I'll reach out their membership, too.
Yes, we're getting to the governance in there. I mean, the governance, is there anything else you need to report?
No.
Outreach there.
The outreach committee had the initial meeting on 5/28 at the Central Market, and people that were present were Teresa Allen, Alana Lon, Ben Bayless, Bill Crozier, Susan Radwin, Nancy, with a long last name, and Teresa put down excused as Lydia Wakasi and Carolyn McGregor.
Well, that's right. The one that go to the first meeting, and if somebody asks for an excuse, need to be in writing, right?
That's yes,
right.
Hank.
Well, I'd like to be excused from it since I didn't get a notification of it.
Well, nobody did except for the general. I sent a letter out to the LSB.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
Okay.
I'm one of the three people that wasn't on the
right.
LSB.
So you guys want to make an exception?
Is it still
yes.
Just
if he wants to be, he can go to three meetings. I mean,
Well, but he didn't get a notice.
He can go.
Well, he didn't get the original notice.
He didn't get the original
notice. So that basically qualifies him for the first meeting when he shows up, if he didn't get the original notice.
We need to get notice to underscore the fact that for our local committees,
exactly,
the LSB at KPFT.org has to be included as a member for KPFTX.
Okay.
Because a lot of our members may not have been to the first meeting, but they want to participate, but they're not getting notice.
Well, we were on KPFX. The meeting was listed there, but
most of us don't
know
BLTX to check on anything.
Well, like I said,
if your name is on the list Otis maintains, which I'm saying that
we hadn't compiled that list yet.
The LSB at KPFT.org ought to be one of those people listed. They send you out email reminders.
Exactly.
Well, I just found out the other day when I went to the station
that there was a meeting.
One of the three.
Who are the other two?
Joseph K. and myself.
I think Jessica is one of them.
Me, Joseph K. and
Joseph K. and Adriana, that's right.
Okay. So then, go ahead and add him to this.
Okay, I will.
You want to be part of the outreach?
Outreach,
okay.
When we first started about outreach, he gave me his name.
Yeah.
But I didn't don't get your feelings hurt.
I got it by word of mouth. That's how I get
it. Is any objections to approve that list that she just...
I don't hear any objections. Go ahead and publish it to the listserv as well as to Otis.
Point of information.
Yes.
Have we made a motion to ask management to correct the emailing communication?
Well, actually, I don't see a need for a motion.
The executive director is on that.
They've been as responsive to her, I'd say, very pointed email to the executive director and the general manager and the ED. So, I mean, it was an issue. And I couldn't get to the bottom of it, but she got to the bottom of it. So it's being addressed right now without a motion. And we'll see just how soon it gets rectified. Mm-hmm. And we'll deal with it moving forward. But I do believe they're making efforts too. And again, the new website is clear that there are things you have to adjust. There are things that go on when you're switching a lot of information. So we have to kind of work with that.
Yeah, they had kind of a little
glitch
work list.
Next.
Glitches, yeah.
Uh-huh. You got to prioritize which ones you're going to work through.
Yeah, where we are on that, I don't know.
And I've been trying to CC people like Bill and George and others who say they hadn't been getting it, including Adriana. I try to CC if I'm sending out something LSP. If I know you're one of those who's saying you're not getting it, I'm trying to CC you so it will go directly to your email as opposed through.
No, when you pull a weed out, you get to the root first. That's really, this is insulting.
Not really.
Okay.
Yeah,
we got a whole lot bigger fish I want to fry than a doggone email trail.
I sent you the list. I don't know if you can pull it up.
I have it. Do you want it?
Of your members, yes.
But then in light of, I didn't realize that if you miss three meetings, you lose voting. Right, and I believe there is one original member who missed three consecutive meetings.
Well, you'll have to report that out.
Yeah, I don't know if that needs to be noted.
Well, clear it up and make sure before you publish the person.
I have it right now.
Can we still approve the people?
Yes. Do you need me to cite them?
No, I actually think I can remember them off the top of my head.
We'll go right ahead, Ms. Great Member.
So the 12 MSRC members, myself, Dwayne, Adriana, Nancy, Joseph, Jim Krafka, Jim Boyd, Alon, Richard Uzel, Teresa, I guess I can't list them all. Susie.
Wait. Vinicia Patel, mm-hmm. Joseph Davis, mm-hmm. Susie Moreno, mm-hmm. Adriana Casney, Dwayne Lark, Jim Boyd, Alana Purin, Nancy Saibara Naritomi, Teresa Allen, and Richard Uzel. And then we have that are the original members.
That's 11.
Then after that, Mr. Robert Mark didn't come to the first one, but he came three in a row that he need to be included mm-hmm. like a member too. Okay.
So he's on your list.
Yes.
So 11?
Well, it's 12 total. Did you say Jim Krafka
That's
for
12.
The original members?
No.
That's,
okay. Just
He wasn't.
We have Vinicia Patel, Joseph Davis, Susie Moreno, Adriana Kasnay, Wayne Lark, Jim Boyd, Alana Purin, Nancy Saibara Naritomi, Teresa Allen, Richard Uzel.
Yeah.
And then Brother Mark.
And subject to corrections. If someone is supposed to be there, we'll correct.
No, because this is important. If the LSB approve it, we can send it, and like he said, the members automatically receive all the notification of the committees, and that's the best way. Doesn't matter if you're...
Do I hear objections to this list?
May I have one time?
Yes, sir.
Because you're talking about maybe property, because I have the same issue.
Okay.
But this was before the implementation of the new rule on absences, so therefore, before that rule was implemented, the last one, informal requests for excused absences were acceptable previously, mm-hmm. and that may
right.
affect the three consecutive
I'll
rules.
To,
that's
I'll
all.
Check. Okay.
We don't have in management selection review, we don't have anybody with the three.
Okay.
Nobody.
No one who
disqualified
themselves
with two,
yet. That's what you're
saying.
No, three.
None,
there's no one who's disqualified themselves at this point
right.
on that
no.
committee.
And then
do you, would you want to report out anything that's going on with your committee since this is your first report this year?
Well, I want to remind everyone that the meeting will be on the 22nd of Monday, the 22nd of June, which is a Monday, since everyone will be out of town next week. And right now it's just getting together the evaluations from the members, which is 12 members, but I only have about 5 evaluations.
That's about all you're going to get. The rest I'm not going to respond.
That's evaluations on this one.
She sent out a request. Tell them what
the request.
You sent out a request.
Well, we obtained different...
2 months ago.
We obtained different descriptions for the management, and then the one that we chose to evaluate our manager on was the, I believe... I can't remember the year. Do you?
2004.
I think it was 2004, right? Description. And so, based on that, and then there was also another regular KPFT job description. So, based on that, everyone was to go through each bulleted item and then mark it somewhere from 0 to 5 and also include some sort of citation or reason so that it's not just, whatever you want, just arbitrary number.
Did this go to everybody?
No,
no,
the only
just
one
the
to
committee.
Have is our
selection
committee members.
Committee.
Just committee members.
Mm.
I have a question.
I think that some members didn't send it in writing because some members prefer to discuss in person.
But for the
yes.
what is going on?
Let me address Hank's issue. Because MSRC is probably one of our most sensitive committees,
yes.
we tend to close communication. So that's why we advise them not to send stuff out of the LSB tree.
Right.
That if you are on the committee, you're going to get the information because we're holding you accountable, as opposed to all the LSB members are not held accountable for what goes on in MSRC.
That would be the results.
Right.
Yeah. And so, then the LSB is the one that made the last decision.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but we don't know all the details or all the questions.
That's why you have advisory boards.
Go ahead, Mark.
That's another issue that comes up. I've been meaning to mention the last 2 or 3 meetings. Is that at one time we had all the members of this LSB signed on to a confidentiality agreement.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't really been good at doing that with the people
new
that
members.
Have come in the last probably 12 to, mm-hmm. to 15, 16 months. And we need to locate those and
I agree
see if
we
can pass them around.
But I really think the best way of moving forward on that is to do this immediately after this election when we sit these new people. Because it's going to be, a month?
Yeah.
So I think that would be the best time.
Yes, but something that Robert said that make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us, he took care of that. When I went to the first meeting,
oh, I remember.
He made me sign the confidentiality.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that some of the new members don't have it. What he's trying to say is we should have it for everybody that is part of the LSB and part of those committees. And we will do it with the new ones. But the ones that are now, we should have the confidentiality.
I can
take
out the signed ones for people that are
right.
still around, but
right.
But I don't know that I have any more blank ones.
Okay,
so,
given the fact it would be a labor of love to get most of the members here to sign one, I'm willing to work with what we have. If you can find out who is on record,
yeah.
let's have a couple of copies for signatures at the next meeting for those who are not on record. But I suggest to you it'll be 6 or 7 we'll never get to because they don't come to me. They won't be at the meeting. So for those of you who don't understand what we're talking about, we're basically saying as board members, we are signing on to not disclose information we're not supposed to be disclosing, period.
Yeah. What is confidential? Just what is confidential?
And I think that's a PMB mandate.
Right.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Since the MSRC didn't get a good response.
What do you mean?
It seems advisable to me.
I think he's right. It didn't get a good response out of 12 people. She got four responses.
No, she got four in writing. In the last meeting, I went with mine. I will not send
so that's five out of 12. That's still
in the exactly. I do expect a few people to... To like have it in
those people okay, have it in their hands.
I wasn't even eligible to vote, and I was the first person that sent it in.
Oh, really?
Right.
Wouldn't the idea be for this body to make their suggestions and then have that committee formulate them into?
I have no problem with what Hank is trying to. Hank is trying to, is really suggesting that we send this to everybody on the board and let them make their.
No,
I'm
so the evaluations to everyone on the board?
No.
Why not?
Well, very simple. We have a committee.
We're looking at the
same
thing. Well, I guess, like,
let the chair talk.
If you want, like, technically, and I'm not really agreeing for or against it because I would rather do what, like the majority of us want to do. But my answer to that would be that, like, that's not really what the LSB is charged with. That's what the MSRC specifically is charged with. And so that's why I don't. It seems like it would kind of convolute things and then also involve people who might not want to be involved.
It delegated it to the MSRC.
It did not delegate that. It had the MSRC do the functionary stuff.
No, we can
in
look
theory,
at
the MSRC is supposed to report to the LSB. That's why you have committees. So the whole 24 folk not trying to do one job.
Well, that's
I would just like to point out that this endeavor was a preliminary endeavor.
Exactly.
We have not formalized how we are going to finalize and evaluate.
Exactly.
And so this was a starting point for the members of the committee to see where we were.
Exactly.
And also the committee is arranging face-to-face interviews with staff.
Exactly.
But we're not anywhere near having a final process, much less a final process.
We are trying to define a process.
We're going
to
refer that to
be a part of this process.
We're going to refer that to the chair, that the chair make a determination.
Right.
If she determines that it goes out to any request members of the board, so be it. If she makes that determination,
I don't have to look at the biases and everything, it doesn't seem to really make sense to me, though.
Well, the committee cannot withdraw powers from the LSB, and the LSB is the organization with the actual power.
But we have
governance. That's why we make committees.
We can't expect 24 folk to do governance job. We can't expect 24 folk. We hope 24 folk do development job, but it doesn't happen. But that's why you be a part of that committee to be in that, in a working thing.
But we all expect input on the budgets, all of us.
Exactly.
And that's the reason we ask questions every time.
If you ain't at the finance committee
meeting. We get reports every month.
Exactly.
From the manager. Yes, right. Exactly.
But if you're not at the finance committee meeting, though, you really don't give input. If you're not at the finance committee meeting.
We have input at every point of the way, except this.
No, it's not true.
Where's our input on this?
Where is
you're putting now.
We don't have any
yes,
input.
I think
that Robert Marx just explain it to you if you pay attention to what he
said.
The management selection.
No,
if you don't talk over me, maybe you can listen.
I've been on more boards.
If you don't talk over me, you can listen what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
Okay. What I'm saying is, it's a problem, right? Okay. When we established the committees, that what we said, that the members of the committee is the one that go to the first meeting. Okay. Then the committees work, because the committees are then coming to the LSB and show to the LSB their work, what they were doing, what the results are, and the LSB will discuss the issue, because the one that approved is always the LSB, and not the different committees.
You know what? We're going back and forth with this, but I've already asked the chair if she has any issue with Hank getting that we have any other requests from an LSB member, address it to her.
I do have another answer to that. There's also, specifically with MSRC, like there's an issue with like not board members sitting in on meetings and like talking about confidential stuff and things like that. And so, and I know that you are a board member, but it's still, I don't know.
Come to
I'm
the meetings.
I'm asking for non-board members to be considered. I'm asking for the board members to be considered.
Okay, come to the meeting.
Come to the meeting.
Wait a minute.
My point is that the job of the MSRC should be to find out what the LSB wants to do about this.
About what?
That's
about
how you
management.
I totally agree with you. That's why 12 members out of 24 are members of the committee. They represent the board. But we can't listen to 24 folks in the middle of the meeting.
You can have your input.
You should join the committee, Hank.
Right. I agree.
That's the best way to have input.
I can see joining the committee wouldn't make much difference.
Why not?
Well,
because the committee's already made up its mind.
We've just gathered information.
Suggestion.
We haven't even used the information. In fact, like you pointed out, five out of 12 submitted.
Yes,
seven didn't.
To make a suggestion that would gather them more info rather than less.
Hey, we don't even really have
we're
like
open
a.
To that.
That's all
we don't even have like a like a set template on how to do this.
I'm
so I'm not being aggressive.
But, okay, there's more.
We're really trying to like figure out the process, and I will definitely keep that in mind.
We can accommodate you. Okay, hey, we can accommodate your interest and your concern. No problem. I think, though, the time is now 9:44, and when we look at the CAB, the Committee of Inclusion, Ad Hoc Committee on Program Council, which I'm hoping Mr. Krafka is going to get off this coming month, Planning Task Force Ad Hoc, to that extent, if you want to go forward, we can go forward, but I don't believe there's any reports out of those special committees, and I do take the opportunity to remind you of the special delegates meeting on July 8th here at the same location that will do what we've done before. We'll convene our regular LSB scheduled meeting, then we will suspend it and we'll go into special delegates. Hopefully y'all told me just one item we have to consider. Hopefully you'll come with your mind made up and we won't have to spend an hour and a half arguing over something we've already made our minds up, so we can just dispense of that, get back into the LSB agenda. And we can have a pretty productive night like we've had tonight. Two meetings in one night.
Did you say July 8th?
I did.
Okay.
July 8th. And that was the best thing I could come up with. I had the 22nd, then I figured I'd have to fight a few of y'all for two meetings in a month. So, no objections? Wonderful. Woo, boy. Got through it.
They are already posted.
All right, now let's spend the last 15 minutes dealing with what you want to deal. Any special items you want to deal with? This is the time to do it. Yes, sir.
I would just like to point out that I also noticed on the management report that we have, where is it? If I can find it.
What it relates to?
Our membership.
Oh, you're talking about the membership numbers?
Yeah.
Business and development. This the first paragraph, isn't it?
Membership currently stands at 7,439. Last year, wasn't it down
it was
to
60
like
something.
Below 6,000?
Yeah, it was 60-something.
So we have actually had a significant improvement in our membership in the last year.
But we lost. But
is that reflective in the money we collect? Have we had an increase in the amount of money
collect? I'm sorry, but in the May one, we have 7,567. It means that we lose.
Uh-oh.
Between May and June, we lose. I got May here.
Do anyone have April? Or we didn't have a meeting today. Anyone have February?
Yeah, I
didn't
make it here, but...
In November,
wait,
in the
we
May,
were at 7,077.
Huh?
Oh,
the May
okay. So we bumped up in December and January and moved back down at the middle of this year then.
Okay, here it is.
Okay.
May 75.
But that's a pretty good number if we can get them to
in
donate.
October it was 72, so it dropped from October to November.
Mm-hmm.
And we dropped from May to June, we lost 130 members.
They don't renew in December, during the holiday months, November and December.
It was 8,900 in 2010 spring.
2010. Almost, we came on the board, yeah.
Well, at some point in time, I have 10,002.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Well, that was
right. That's a reflection
I think that was
of me coming on the board.
Five,
they just went to hell.
Four,
yes,
I have it in
have 10,000
somewhere.
for a short moment.
Well,
okay.
All we got to do is elect a Republican president. We'll get that same boost again.
Yeah. And can you imagine the Supreme Court in the next 5 years with the Republican president?
The next 30 days.
We just can't keep them.
The next 30 days.
They're
going to
get three appointments, I believe, the next president.
Can
we keep going?
That other person.
We can't get these off the agenda.
We're never going to get them off the agenda.
I'm sorry, but let me ask you, what is the next? Is unfinished business? Can we go to that?
I believe it would be a futile attempt to deal with it, because 10 minutes is not going to deal with allegations, okay? Now, I do believe, though, if you really want to use the time effectively, go down there to 11D and deal with this upcoming election to make sure ain't no shenanigans going to occur under the local station election supervisor, as opposed to what happened in the 2012 election. Why don't we do something about that?
It's a national issue. We have a national election supervisor. I talked to her. We talked to her again.
I talked
and
to the
she's
AES
talking,
a dozen times last time. Got right. Zero.
Right.
You're talking
exactly
about the one that was in 2012.
Yeah, that's right.
The local and the national.
Right.
One of them did
right.
I think the local was.
We have all of that. We have all of that documented.
Okay. I want to be on that. Don't want no shenanigans going down.
Well, I was talking to someone from KPFA. And they said that their station management absolutely did nothing to promote the election, which is why they didn't reach quorum.
Mm-hmm.
KPFK.
Wait,
did we?
Yeah, whichever one was that.
Did we do that? Okay.
I think we accomplished some things tonight.
They didn't do anything to tell people to get out of it.
At least we had a discussion about fundraising, which I think is, to some of you, both pro-income.
I have a doubt here.
Okay, go ahead.
11C said discussion on when and how to go into executive session. What that mean?
11C?
Yeah. I don't understand the issue.
That was carried over from the previous chair. But it is a discussion that needs to be had. So
what?
Well, because some folk don't even know what an executive session is who sat on this board. Hey. Some folk don't know when it's proper to go in. Some folk don't even know it has to be properly noticed. So there's a lot of things you need to discuss about executive session. Well, now, hopefully we'll do that in this retreat that I'm talking about.
Before we go any further, I would like to ask somebody, I don't know if it's the governance committee or who, to show me where in the bylaws it says anything about a special delegates meeting.
Okay, that's a good question. Now,
our
elder statesman, I'm going to refer to him, and then this parliamentarian of
supporting that.
Zeus, will refer to those two. Do y'all know? Can y'all answer his question?
Do
you
have
question?
I do.
No, that's somebody's made up idea.
Y'all got to listen to the answer now. We've got, these are the two most veterans in the room.
I don't have it with me, but there, you know, the bylaws have various ambiguities and contradictions.
That's an understatement.
You know, a meeting of the delegates. The delegates,
that's us.
You folks have two functions. One is as delegates. One is as a committee of the PNB. That's what the LSB is. So that said, what you have, if you're an LSB, you're a committee, so the PNB can kind of tell you what to do if you're necessary.
Yep.
Now, the delegates isn't the opposite kind of. That's where you elect your representatives to the PNB.
None of that is delineated.
And you also, when you vote on bylaws amendments.
None of that's in the rules. No, it isn't. All right, give me the text and I'll check it. Because I haven't been able to write it.
Let Bill finish. Let Bill finish, then I'll come to you, Ted.
He had the floor.
I don't have it in front of me, but that's a summary.
Get it in front of you and send it to me. Because I've looked for it for over a year.
Brian.
Yes, sir.
Bill's done. If Hank will shut up, give him an answer.
Go right ahead.
Where is it?
Okay, I have argued the same position that Hank has argued for 13 years. Unfortunately, a big component of what's in Robert's rules, and it is in our bylaws that we follow Robert's precedent, is a big, it holds a lot of standing. And what people have said over the past 13 years is that the general manager, who is an ex officio non-voting member of this body, does not participate in the delegates meeting, and that in the delegate, I'm just telling.
Delegates meetings.
Don't interrupt him.
Yes, it is. As a matter of fact.
Don't interrupt. Don't interrupt. Ted has the floor. Let's have respect.
Right there.
Let's respect each other. Go ahead, Ted.
It doesn't say delegates meeting, but it says the delegates shall meet. That's a delegates meeting.
We are all delegates. We all meet.
Hey. We are wearing two hats, and this is the delegate hat.
Where does it say
and
two
the one
hats?
Back here where our there's duties
no,
and authorities is an element.
There's no support.
It says two hats because this meeting
this
is
like
in
the Bible
Article 5. Hank,
just
you're just
there.
Wrong. Article 5 relating to the board of directors of the foundation.
Right.
Discusses how one elects someone to be on the board of
now
directors.
Now read it, Harry. You
and
said
it specifically says the delegates for
exactly.
each radio station shall meet
no.
annually
no.
in early
delegates.
January to elect four directors.
Congress
has
the right to have
radio
special
station.
Delegates meetings. They're all delegates. We're all
well,
delegates.
But
we're
all
Pacifica delegates.
They're
all
members.
Delegates,
they're
but,
delegates. But when they sit as a committee, which this LSB
it's
is,
bullshit.
They're a committee.
It's political horseshit that's been used over the years,
no.
and it's still horseshit. It's not in there.
I'm sorry.
I just read it. It's not in there. And I can probably find it in another place.
Interpreting is another
thing. That's fine. Let me say
it
something.
It says
really
delegates
short.
Shall meet. That's a
we
delegates
do.
Meeting.
They are.
No, everybody was a meeting.
You ask, but when people are trying to answer, you interfere. You have people explaining. Very short. Look at this. When you are a delegate, that's why the delegates. We as delegates, right? That's why they specifically said when we meet and what we do. Let me finish, and then you say,
okay,
you go and read the bylaw, because we have a bunch of people telling you, you are the only one that don't understand it. When we meet, like in LSB, like he said, we are a subcommittee, a subcommittee of the PMB. When we met like delegates, we are not. That's why we can change the bylaw, approve the bylaws, changes. We can elect the people that go to the PME.
So we're elected delegates? Because that's mentioned nowhere in elections.
Ryan, are you chairing this?
We're automatically.
Yes, I'm chairing this.
I was going to say something.
That is my prerogative to let them go back and forth.
Delegates. It's not anywhere in the literature for
There is a reference to this in the corporation.
Okay. We can twist it all the way.
There is also a reference
to
delegates in the guidelines corporation.
If we don't have any more business, I've got to go.
That says that
we ain't had no business
local
in 20 minutes.
Station boards
okay,
will be
can we adjourn this?
No, we're just going to keep going until 10 o'clock and then adjourn itself in 4 minutes.
Something aside
we can adjourn whenever we want.
I know, but we said 10 o'clock.
Talk about this stuff, but you
just 5 minutes.
That makes it
but see, what we have demonstrated here is that one person has an issue with what is an interpretation, but the majority rules.
But wait a minute, two people have had the same problem with it.
I agree, but he acquiesced. He admitted, he acquiesced. He realized that.
When you see something's wrong, don't acquiesce.
But it's not maybe not be wrong. It maybe it's just not articulated as clearly as it should be.
It's not articulated at all.
It is articulated. It was just explained to you in articulation. You don't want to accept it.
It wasn't written in there that way.
He wrote, I mean, he read what was written, that we are special delegates representing the PMB on matters of concern to the PMB.
Elected locally as delegates.
When we assemble ourselves each month, we are LSB members. When we assemble ourselves for a special purpose of taking up issues specifically as it relates to amendments of the bylaws, of the PMB, we are to convene ourselves as delegates of the PMB, not members of the LSB board.
Does that differentiate meetings?
Well, you know, you can choose not to understand it, but since president supersedes new members' interpretation, we'll stand with
the
president.
The delegate functions. And then Article 7, where is it? It says it all throughout, a consistent reading of these bylaws.
A consistent reading.
And Article 7, creating local station boards, says that each LSB shall consist of the 24 delegates elected by the members for that radio station.
So we're all delegates all the time.
No.
Not all the time. Only when you convene.
Hank, you just don't want an answer. You just want to say, I'm right. I don't want to be just bullshit on what they wrong. The bullshit is that these were passed in the first place, not that they were clearly delegated.
We all agree with that. We have to live with this bullshit.
I understand that it's not in there.
Thank you, dear. You go ahead and get ready for your trip.
You know, these bylaws.
So they're going to wrap us out of here after this. We'll all be locked in here asking the police to let us out.
It's like nice and kind of close.
It does say the delegates shall meet.
Oh, okay. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's get this room together. Ladies and gentlemen, we are adjourned.
So it's somebody's job.
Nobody makes
it out.
Don't have to adjourn the press. The time was set.
The rules are the same.
If you set an adjournment time, there needs to be a motion to extend.
Time is after
10 p.m.